Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I play pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Yes, then we talking.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Scrape cleanup on aisle three. Come get it.
Sounds like you're just an athlete.
Yeah.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Ping pong, baseball, football, basketball.
Tennis, swimming, lacrosse, whatever you need me to play, I'm going to go do it.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hockey.
Whatever, on the rink, whatever you need me to do, it don't matter.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM. The Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Sizzler.
Good morning, everybody. Hope your Wednesdays are going great. We've talked about Elizabeth this morning. We talked about daylight savings time this morning. It's been a jam-packed first 2 hours of the show.
Somebody on a website, Dirt, that's asking, hey, is this a trade that would make both sides feel good?
Ooh, who's feeling nice today?
And I want to know where the collective fan bases would both be at if it broke that Kyler Murray's been traded for Tua.
Dude, we need to talk about that.
Imagine the Dolphin fans finding out they're getting rid of Tua, but for Kyler.
That's your answer.
And then Arizona going, all right, we're out of the Kyler business, but we're in the Tua business.
That is in my notes today. We will get to that. The Thunder in town, we got to talk about that. Somebody chime in, one of our P1s chiming in about this is why they love Joe Buck. And I think that's a great point. And we were talking about broadcasters and the voice. Like, he just seems natural. And he's, you know, he's not the most over-the-top entertaining guy, but he is himself. It doesn't seem like he's putting on an act or playing a character when he's calling the game. So I'm a huge Buck guy. I'm also a huge Aikman guy because he's one of the few colorant. Like, him taking a dump all over Jerry Jones in the middle of Monday Night Football was so good.
It was great.
Because he was teasing, we made a trade. And Troy's like, you know, you're losing to the Cardinals and Jacoby Brissett. Maybe you should cancel the trade before the deadline. It's not too late, Jerry. It hasn't been announced yet. People who can just be themselves and don't feel like they're putting on an act are the kind of broadcasters I love. So to rock, you know, kind of recap that conversation, somebody said Howard Cosell was still sounding like that clear through the 70s and 80s. And that's a good point. Like, I obviously was not alive then.
Well,
Swag was.
To Monday Night Football.
There was a lot of that. Like, go back and listen to Howard Cosell call a game. Mm. It was very, I'm playing a character that is a broadcaster. Hmm. Not the biggest fan of it. I wanted to stick in the NFL. We'll get to the Kyler Murray stuff in this hour. We'll get to Lucy Burge coming up top of the hour.
You want to talk about Kyler?
I do want to talk about Kyler
Murray.
He's
benched?
He got benched. Which,
hey,
I know.
It took you 3 years, but you figured it out.
Good luck getting out of that contract. That's a whole other side angle of that. Let me ask you this, though. So we recapped the NFL trade deadline earlier of just deals that we liked. We mentioned Seattle and adding another weapon for a fourth and fifth round pick. Not that big of an asking size. We mentioned Sauce Gardner going for 2 1s. We mentioned Quinnen Williams going to Dallas of, like, what are the Cowboys doing? Do they have any idea? I don't think that they do.
He's a good player. You gave up a lot, and you already had a good defensive lineman. You chose to get rid of him.
Could have just re-signed 2 years ago when he was... I digress. Let me ask you this. From the other side of it, because there was a team going into the deadline that Adam Schefter played the, you know, they're going to be so aggressive it hurts card. Look out for them to make a massive move. And they didn't end up doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And on that angle, I want to ask you, if you were a fan base of an NFL team that is competitive and in the mix this year, and you stood pat, where would you be most frustrated?
By your definition of in the mix, does that mean just a playoff team?
Like, you're in the playoffs and you give a little bit of a benefit of, like, you know, I could see you making some noise there, and maybe a trade could have changed the outlook of your team a little bit.
Well, Andy, I'm glad you asked me. My team is currently 6-3, and every player has torn their ACL, and they did literally
answer your
nothing.
Own fandom. They stood pat.
You can say, Sprague, they added a defensive lineman from New England that wasn't even playing. What are you talking about? And I would say, yeah, not excited. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a fan of one of those teams.
Fits
I think
perfectly.
It's different, though. The difference between how Bears made a move, actually, but how like a Niner fan should feel versus Denver are vastly different things.
Yes.
Man. Like going to add an addition, like there was a report that the Niners were really close to getting Jermaine Johnson from the Jets because the Jets were in a fire sale.
Who wants players?
They didn't come to an agreement.
Yeah.
They didn't get him. Denver, I mean, certainly Denver not getting somebody after it was kind of teased that they might be the team that's going to go make a big splash move. What do you really need Denver to do? The first in the division.
Yep.
You can certainly nitpick at the offense and say, well, at times Nick's looks like the worst quarterback to ever play, and then at times he looks like the league MVP.
And will not stop scoring touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Where is the middle ground, and when is the middle ground going to kind of show itself with who they are week in and week out versus can you really rely on a fourth quarter explosion against upper echelon teams to happen?
Week in and week out, yeah.
Versus Houston without C.J. Stroud at quarterback for 2.5 quarters? I don't know. I would be a little nervous about that, but their defense is so damn good and so impactful. I totally understand why a Denver Broncos maybe evaluated the landscape and said, do we want to give up much capital? No. So if I'm Denver and I'm a Denver fan, I think today I'd be okay with it. It's not like every team that makes trade wins the Super Bowl with the trade.
No.
But if I'm like the wild card team that either doesn't make sense that they're there, the 49ers, or fill in the blank anybody else. Yeah, man. Like, why? Why didn't we make another move, even if that meant, like, giving up a little bit of value
sure.
to replace a position of need?
It's interesting, too, because a lot of this answer will be framed on how the season ends, right? Like, Denver last year was a team with a rookie quarterback who started over, moved on from Russ, ate the dead money. And nobody criticized them for losing the playoffs because they weren't supposed to be there. It was just like, hey, you guys made the playoffs with a rookie quarterback? That's incredible.
Like,
did
Denver really need a receiver to you yesterday?
I wouldn't say they really needed one.
Would it have changed anything if they got Jacoby Myers, in your opinion, or
no.
Shaheed?
I mean, it could have helped. I don't know if it changes the outlook of them in the postseason for me, but I think it helps to have another weapon. Right, and not all of their guys have been number one caliber guys, and Franklin's had moments, and Sutton's had moments.
Sutton has moments. He needs to be more consistent.
Yes.
But the offense in general needs to be more consistent.
Yes, that's a top down thing.
Receivers.
Yeah, I mean, Bo's thrown some bad picks. The offensive line at times has struggled. Like the receivers at times have had drops. Like it's a collection. It's not just one thing. It's not just on wide receivers. So, to answer your question, no, I wouldn't. Like if they had landed Shaheed instead of Seattle, am I sitting here saying Denver's the front runner in the AFC? No, but I also feel like these are like. The expectations for them this year are a little bit different. It's not just like, hey, we made the playoffs. That was a fun story. We had a rookie quarterback that came out of nowhere. If you make the playoffs again and it goes the way that it did last year, where you, I think they, what, up 7-0 to Buffalo, then they give up 38 straight points, and then they lose in a blowout fashion, do you still view that as a success? Is that a good year for Denver? Like, that's the part that I find interesting for some of these teams that are now. It's different when you're the first time there and breaking through, and it's, all right, hey, you've reestablished a culture. Congrats on making the playoffs. I'm not going to kill you at all for losing that game and looking bad doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the expectations are different. The other team that I would throw in here, and again, maybe they felt the same of just like, hey, let's make the playoffs, let's establish it this year, and then we can build from here. The other team that I would have circled yesterday of like, wow, you really didn't do anything was New England. New England was the other team that I thought, when they made a couple of trades that didn't make a lot of sense, like sending a defensive lineman, to your point, to San Francisco.
Well, that guy wasn't even really in the
rotation. He wasn't even in the rotation,
anymore.
But just, it felt like they were clearing room and making maneuvers to do other things, or like, let's get some other draft picks that we could throw into another trade, and maybe they were trying, and it didn't come to fruition. I don't think they just sat on their hands, but...
Well, I think every team's having phone calls.
Efforting to do it,
yeah.
Right? That was the other team I just thought, like, man, young quarterback, you're kind of popping this year, and there's not something out there that you felt like you could go out and address. And again, maybe they get to the playoffs, and the Broncos and the Pats play in the AFC title game, and we look back and say, see, they didn't need to do anything. But I think similarly to the Colts making the aggressive move for Sauce Gardner, a lot of that viewing and grading and judging of the trade will depend on what do they do with Sauce Gardner. I think I'll look at the same way with teams that stood pat at the deadline and say, if you go one, like you don't even win a playoff game and you don't look good in the wild card round and it kind of crumbles on you, I will be left wondering, like, man, could you have done something or been more aggressive? Because they both have the same thing going for them. I know Denver's eating dead money with Russ, but they both have quarterbacks on rookie deals, and that's when you're supposed to strike while
they
are top.
I think the tough thing there is, like, New England is kind of viewing this as the reset, right? Year one with Vrabel. The quarterback's in year two. He's popping.
Mm-hmm.
The receivers seem to have pretty good chemistry with him. They've had some moments where they're a little clunky offensively, but for the most part, they're humming at a pretty good pace. I know Stevenson was hurt last weekend. We'll kind of see what that's going to be. They weren't a team I heard all that much about. Now, I understand what you're saying, like clearing out some guys. Maybe you're setting something up, but
I think New England's just riding a wave. And I think there is something to it. Maybe this is where
Denver
is.
Not rock the boat, just kind of keep it going.
I mean, look, they're getting a good season from Diggs, right? That was our, you want to talk about rocking a boat, bringing him in is always kind of a risky rocking the boat move. He's been good. Denver might be in the same position, despite what you think about their pass catchers. Franklin, I think, has had a good season.
Mm-hmm.
He's proving to be a pivotal two-point conversion and deep threat guy.
Yes, he is.
And Cortland Sutton's good. He needs to add a little more of that consistency. Do you know in Sean Payton's entire run with the Saints and so far in Denver, he's never added a receiver at the deadline? So, like, he might be somebody that just internally believes in continuing to grow together, build chemistry, and establish your pecking order of pass catchers. I think there's a real difference. I don't begrudge any team that trades and makes a move in the sake of, I think we're close to hitting a peak and we should, you know, turn this and see if we can make it even more elite. I also think it's understandable today to say Indy paid a really high price.
Yep.
And expectations or no expectations, that's just a lot to give up at a position where now you're going to pay that guy a lot of money.
It's going to cost you.
And he better be on the field. He better be active every week because the minute he gets hurt and he's out, that's a lot of your cap going to a player who's not giving you anything. So I didn't look at Denver as a team that had to go get something. It's not to say that Shaheed made the Seahawks the number one team in the NFC. I just like the fit with Shaheed.
It's more of a nice under-the-radar move for not a huge asking price.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a ton to ask for, to have a nice pass catcher in with a young player and your number one guy while your veteran savvy guy is injured right now. So Denver and New England not adding anything, it didn't shock me. I think those are teams that can continue to build on, and they're both in first place in their divisions.
Yeah.
So they might just be in a spot where they like where they're at. They like the locker room. They don't want to add any other piece to it. You said something earlier, too, and I think it's fair. Like, you can always look back on a season and say, well, we didn't quite get as far or accomplish what we want. Man, I think in the NFL, Lamar and Allen have the expectation to win a Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Because they haven't done it.
They've knocked it on the door and haven't kicked it in.
Really, outside of that, like, New Kansas City carries a we have to win the Super Bowl or we're failures because they've won it three times already.
Yeah.
Dude, Denver losing in the first playoff game, it's all about how you lose. That's a good season. If you're in the dance, you've largely had what I think most fan bases should have. That's a good season. Now,
how long does that go on for? I guess would be my follow-up question.
Do you want to be in the dance every year, or do you want to overreact and cost you a spot to continue to be in the dance? You should always look to improve. And if you lose 38-7, there's certainly going to be some roster moves that you're going to make. But to just completely crap on and say fire the coach and the quarterback can't win.
I'm not doing that.
But when you place expectations, you put yourself there. And that's a dangerous spot to live in. That's why, as a Niner fan, just make it. I don't think that team's very good.
Yeah, this year's a unique one for them, for
injured
sure.
Injured to all hell. Yeah. But, like, I just want to see my team in the playoff.
Yeah.
It's either boom or bust with too many people. I was talking with a Niner fan for the season. It was like, I don't know, man. I think you should just kind of pack it in and trade guys. And I'm like, no. I want good players on my team, and I want to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, you can hit the reset button at any moment. Like, at any time in his organization, you could do that whenever you want to.
You should only hit a reset button when you're the Jets. Yeah. If you're a good team who comes up short or you disappoint, but you were in the playoffs, tweak. It's not the NBA.
Small changes necessary. Yeah, it's interesting. There were some teams out there that stood pat. I'm just curious, you know, if anybody was a fan of one of those teams, were you frustrated? Because there were some teams that didn't even, that I thought should have hit more of a reset button, that didn't hit as much of a reset button as I thought they were going to. Pittsburgh was another team that stood pat that a lot of people expected to be active, and they didn't have anything major going on trade deadline day. A couple more NFL thoughts. We'll stick there. Next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. A couple of thoughts from different fan bases. Bronco fan chiming in, okay with what they did. saying the Russ contract still being on the books, that'll come off in the offseason.
Yeah.
Have a little bit more cap flexibility, so we'll be able to be aggressive. Saints fan has chimed in. If you're wondering if we have any Saints fans listening, we do.
They kind of restarted a little bit.
They wanted more of a reset button. They were upset the reset button wasn't slammed a little bit harder. They wanted as many picks as they could possibly get, which I get. Like, in that position, like, I would have traded anybody relevant on my roster. Although, ironically, Kamara's one of the guys who's like, I don't want to leave. I love it here in New Orleans.
I think what's tough about that is the fan base, I totally get on the side of, like, hey, we're not good. We're one of the worst. Let's get some value here and rebuild the right way. But let me ask you this. This is where it becomes tough. When a Kamara or a Cam Jordan don't want to be traded and leave.
They want to stick around, I know.
You know, and like there's an element to me as a human that's like, I love that. I love that they want to be career
guys. It means something, man, yeah.
But it is hard to reset if you don't trade. Like, Kamara would have gotten you some value.
Who else do they have to trade? There's not a lot of options left. That's the problem in New Orleans
right now. And here's the other problem. When I say, like, you don't want to blow it, you want to be the Jets if you're blowing it up. The term rebuild should not exist for teams that compete. It should be tweak.
Yeah.
And always be looking to improve. The Eagles are very good at that. But, like, you're not going to consider trading Chris Olave.
No.
He's good. Nobody would forget Chris Olave was a Saint.
Nobody could ever forget
Not
that.
A single person would have ever forgotten that.
Definitely have a number one wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Although, what could they get for him if they did trade him?
If Sauce is going for two first, you're getting some stuff.
I mean, who's most desperate for a wide receiver out there? Like, if you would have shopped him, who would have been most desperate to make that move? Because there's a handful. Like, we're hearing from Steeler fans.
What would the Bills have given up for a Chris Olave?
I don't know what they have left in terms of draft capital, but yeah, that's a great example of it. Steeler fan is chiming in pissed that they didn't do anything.
We desperately needed
another wide receiver, and one of them, where did this go? If we aren't going to bet the house and go get Breece Hall or Garrett Wilson, we should have at least given up more than Seattle did to get Shaheed. And that was the takeaway from the Shaheed trade yesterday. It was like,
a couple fan bases wanted him.
Oh, it was only a 4 and a 5. That's like, that wasn't one that you looked at like Sauce saying 2 first-round picks for a $120 million deal. Okay. We'll see how that works out. That was more of a, man, that was a decent value trade that nobody else was willing to beat. Interesting.
You got to think about teams, too, that aren't even in the race right now, but they're kind of hovering. Like, I don't know where CJ Stroud is on the concussion. I haven't checked up on that. Houston with Chris Olave?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, there'd be no excuse for the offense
to
be terrible.
What if the Rams grabbed him?
Oh, shut up. Yeah, I don't think wide receivers is their issue. You're just trying to make the NFC West tougher for Spray.
Shut up.
Seattle gets better. LA gets better. The Niners stand
pat. Nakua,
Adams, the trade deadline is
passed.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you can't do it. You can't hurt you anymore.
Stop putting stuff in the universe, man.
That's what I like about the Seahawks move. They're actually, and the coaching staff and the GM's office is paying attention to what their team is. They're really good with the pass offense. Darnold's got the timing down. Their run blocking is hit and miss. So if they are going to go far, it's going to be because Darnold and that passing attack can move the ball down the field, and they gave him another weapon so they don't have to try to figure out their running issues.
You know who could use a Chris Olave along with like 4 linemen? The Chargers.
Yeah, they could have used it. Yeah, that would have helped. They did. Speaking of hitting the reset button, New Orleans, the Chargers got an offensive lineman that I have never heard of before. Swag, have you ever heard of Trevor Penning before?
No.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, I
hate that we have to pretend
they needed another body. They got but
nobody knows
that
most of the
difference?
Offensive linemen.
Like, I was reading the reaction from fans on this because they at first didn't make a trade. It was reported that the deadline was done, and I'm like, the Chargers seriously didn't add an offensive lineman? Do they not care about? Do they want Andrew Luck? Is he going to retire and go like
It was one of those
books
things that trickled
Eugene?
In after,
and then it came in afterwards. Yeah. And I was reading the reaction from Saints fans that were like, "What did we get for him? A washing machine and a bag of chips?" Like, that was the reaction from the Saints side of it. So they didn't have very high expectations on it, but they needed to do something. Their two tackles they're down to their 6th and 7th tackles, and they're probably playing with the worst center in the NFL in terms of grades after games. So they needed to do something. It didn't cost them anything. It was, a 6th-round pick to go get an offensive lineman?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, thank you for being active and doing something.
I mean, come on, they did something.
There was a trade that took place.
Dude, I listen.
You can't replace Joe Alton Slater. That's the difficult part of it.
You were never going to replace those guys, but it's about trying to make something that'll give you your best possible chance. So I understand the fan base is that, let's see what it is with Denver. Maybe Denver will build up good chemistry and that offense will find more consistent footing. At least that's what I would hope if I was a Bronco fan. Steeler fan, totally get it. Like, Your defense is already, I still think, terrible. I don't think last week changes my opinion on the Steelers. I need to see like 4 weeks of that defense.
Talk about it. Steelers, they play the Chargers this weekend on Sunday Night Football. Now,
that's going to be an ugly game because the Charger offense can be a little ugly given their circumstances. But yeah. I need to see a little more from the defense of the Steelers. I would not blame at all Steeler fan being upset that they didn't add anything offensively.
Well, especially
you
got
to keep up with these teams if your defense not good.
You do. And it also for them, like I view them, I guess... The counter-argument to the Denver-New England stuff is, like, you've got young quarterbacks, you're not going anywhere. Like, nothing's guaranteed in the NFL, and we learn that every single year, that 1 year doesn't always... 1 + 1 doesn't equal two, that because you were good last year, it just continues, right? There's ebbs and flows of this. Teams go up, and they go down. The argument for the Steelers is this is it.
Yeah, because like, Rodgers is done.
Rodgers is done.
Yeah.
This is, and I don't think anybody really put a stock in them going on a run either way. But the idea of you have a 40-year-old quarterback who said he's walking away, you're hitting a reset button at the end of the year because then you're again answering the question of who's our starting quarterback going to be next year?
Well, you're going back to the Mason Rudolph era.
Well, maybe you will. Maybe. And they got the cat out of Ohio State. Why am I blanking on his name? Won a national title.
No, I thought they cut him.
Did he get cut?
I thought he got the cap casualty.
Oh, he was, huh?
Will Howard.
Pick, Will Howard. He got cut? Really?
I thought I read that he got cut in camp, but he's not.
Either way, they're going to have to answer the question again in the offseason, who is the quarterback? And so, yeah, I would be more upset if I were a Steeler fan in that regard of just like, yeah, what the hell, dude? We're already all the way in anyways. Well, let's just go a little bit more all the way in and use a little bit of capital and see what we can do.
Oh, no, he did make it. Okay.
Okay, he made the team?
Oh, he's missing the... Yeah, okay. He got hurt.
Oh,
that's
well,
what it was.
So he's not going to play this year. There you go. We both ended up being right. There you go. There's a recap of the NFL trade deadline.
I don't think I was right on that.
Okay, I'll give you credit for it.
Watch the teams who win it. Like, if Philly wins, do we put them in this, like, you got to make, that's why you make a trade? I guess it depends on what Phillips does, right? But
I also, the takeaway of Phillips is good is, can we just, like, a boycott on every NFL GM? We're just not going to answer your phone calls. We refuse to do business with you. That would be my thought. Let's get all the other 31 owners and GMs together and say, can we just stop negotiating with Philadelphia? Because they keep fleecing everybody, and I'm sick and tired of it.
There's something to that.
They can't keep getting away with this. There you go. There's your reaction to the NFL trade deadline. Let's talk about how a team is handling one quarterback position where the report is he's benched, but he's hurt, but he's not benched. This is ugly. We all knew it was going to be ugly. What's the future look like? We'll dive into that next. First, all right, more fan bases continuing to chime in. Lions fan now. Hard not to fully trust Brad Holmes, but a bit annoyed Detroit did zero trades. Worry about having a window to contend with the salary cap. Young guys needing to get paid, not doing anything now. 5-3, holes on the offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line's interesting. That was not a good weekend for them against Minnesota. Also,
a team with a disappointing end of their year last year, getting blown out at home in a playoff game, in their first playoff game.
Yeah. I thought they played like crap, and they still had opportunity at the end there. I thought that was just kind of one of those...
This weekend, you mean against Minnesota? Or the
weekend against Minnesota. I get the playoff stuff. You want to take that step and get to a Super Bowl, but let's not forget, you had a shot.
We were almost there 2 years ago.
You blew it. You had almost a there 2 years massive ago. Lead against my team, and you choked it away, and so... I mean, I get it. Look, you're a competing team. You're probably always looking to add something, and that's where the credit to an Eagles comes in. But was last week indicative of the Lions and their offensive line problems, or is that a really good game plan by Flores, Minnesota? Because that Minnesota defense is not a defense I feel like I've seen a lot this year.
No, they were that early in the year, then they weren't that for a long time. And also, you know, if we would have had this conversation a week ago, would you have said they needed to do something? So is that overreacting too much to one game? That's a difficulty of where the trade deadline falls. I do want to get to Here We Go Again. That's coming up in 10 minutes, and then Lucy Burge at the top of the hour. This situation at Arizona is really funky. So the Cardinals win on Monday night. Jacoby Brissett has played well since being inserted as the starter because of Kyler Murray's injury. And they win in Dallas. They ended a five. They started the year 2-0, lost 5 in a row, and then beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Now, I bet the over, and I didn't think that Dallas's offense was going to be the problem, and Dallas's offense ended up being the problem. Shout out to Jacoby Brissett for doing the Lord's work and trying to help me cover that over bet. Did not happen, though. Ian Rapoport sends out a tweet 18 hours ago. The Arizona Cardinals are naming Jacoby Brissett their starting quarterback. End of tweet. This thing got 2.3 thousand retweets. It was seen by 4.4 million people. And I see this and I'm like, wait a minute. Is this like, there's like another injury side of this? Is this a continuation of Kyler being, are we just naming him the starter this week? Have we officially named him the starter going forward? All of this is very convoluted. Adam Schefter saying, in looking at Kyler Murray and where he's going to go from here, that they have consulted with multiple doctors on his foot injury, and they've been told the timetable for recovery has been anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks with an increased chance of setback until it's properly healed. And Murray now has more time to heal. And so this is becoming almost like a Brock Purdy thing of like, you know, the injury you're dealing with, foot injury, very finicky. You could hurt it at any time and who knows how long you're going to be out for. But it just has me questioning his future there, the dead cap money that's involved, and what the hell the Arizona Cardinals are going to do. And Jacoby Brissett being their starter for the foreseeable future.
How about this one? In Brissett's worst start this year, he still had 40 more yards and less interceptions than Kyler did in his best start of the year. We can go look at the numbers. Just simply tell the offense and Arizona as an organization.
Yeah,
Jacoby Brissett is fine. He's been a backup. He's had a great career by that metric, right? He's a backup at best. He's a Mariota. He could play 5, 6, 7 games for you, but he's largely a backup.
Yeah. Win a game or two, it's about it.
He'll never carry you higher than that. It's a nice win for them on Monday Night Football. That organization has enough data to suggest, hey, look at that. A quarterback that can look over the offensive line, our offense is not bad. They have Marvin Harrison Jr., who, to be fair to Marvin Harrison Jr., we've been wondering what's happening there. Now, he had 1,000 yards as a rookie. That's a great metric to have.
He did.
But we still said, what's happening? And then he had that weird game, that weird start against the Seahawks, where he was dropping a pass, and they were kind of openly talking about it. Maybe, crazy suggestion here, maybe it's the quarterback. Because he connected with Brissett. He's got better chemistry with Brissett. I don't know what you do if you're Arizona, because it's been clear for me for years, and I never was a believer in him as a franchise guy.
No.
This guy's not your guy, but he's under a massive contract now, and the backup is playing better. So I don't know what they do. They at least have an out with this injury. You don't want to force him to come back and play injured, no matter how you feel about him. Okay, and I don't think Brissett's going to lead them to any, you know, crazy record here.
No. It's more of a Kyler conversation than it, nobody cares about the Cardinals.
He's not a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this, is they had one playoff run where they got embarrassed in the playoff game. In hindsight, that didn't age well. You fired that coach.
He's never been able to stay healthy. He's always hurt.
He can't see over the line. He has to back up 15 yards to see down the field, or he has to scramble to the outside of the pocket. That's why... it's not even a hot take. You don't draft small quarterbacks, man.
Yeah.
For every Doug Flutie you give me, I'll give you like 20 that just don't work. Like, Baker is right on that threshold of being too small.
He is.
And you can argue he is, but he's finding a way to make it work. Yeah. His reads, his throws, his accuracy has been great.
It's a big difference between 6 foot and 5 foot 10. And I know that sounds funny,
five
but
ten
there's
is,
a big
is
difference.
Generous, I think.
5'10 for Kyler is very generous.
Bryce Young and Kyler Murray are like 5'9, 5'8 guys who get put up at 6 foot.
Yeah, look, as a short king myself, I like to defend these guys, but you're 100% spot on. Let me ask you this. So his deal, by the way, he's not the trade deadline just came and went, so he's not going anywhere. Next year, he's got 2 more years left on his deal until whoever has the deal can get out of it. So after the 2027 season, you can get out of his deal.
Like, completely? They don't have to eat money?
Zero dead cap.
As a team option?
As a team. It's just you have the potential out after the first 3 years of the deal. There's a club option for 2028.
So he will be back next year then, because they will wait for that option.
The dead cap on his deal next year, $57.7 million.
They're not doing it.
The last year that you can, before you can get out, is 2027, drops all the way down to $7.2 million in the last year of the contract. Let me ask you this, though, because I agree with everything that you said, and I know what my answer is, even though I'm trying to be more open-minded to the idea of this happening, because it keeps happening. Is there anything on the Kyler Murray front on the new team, new dream scenario? We have seen this so many times in the last 10 years of the NFL. You just mentioned a guy who was a prime example of this, although Baker's start to his career, I would argue, was better than Kyler's.
Took him a few teams.
Took him a few teams and then landed, right? Yeah. Sam Darnold is in the MVP conversation right now. Daniel Jones has the Colts atop the AFC, or one of, I think they're tied for the best record in the AFC with the Patriots. Like, we all know the examples that we have used, and I'm trying so hard now to not be the guy that just automatically crosses a guy off the list. Because we did this with Daniel Jones 3 months ago. We laughed at the idea of Daniel Jones starting for the Colts. Like, why would you start? You have a top five pick in Anthony Richardson. How could you leave him on? We all said the same thing, and we all have egg on our face. Now, I don't know what it means in the grand scheme of things of where they go and what he wins, but that doesn't matter. He's clearly better than Anthony Richardson, and it's clearly working out for them. Are we writing this one in Sharpie, or is this a pencil? Is it a pen? How do we write Kyler Murray has no chance of doing it with a new team?
Well, I'm going to die on the take that he's not a franchise guy.
So it doesn't matter where he goes and where the landing spot is.
Obviously, your environment has a great deal with how you turn out, right? But,
and it's not a guarantee that every quarterback goes to a new team and turns it around. Like, there's a lot of guys that move on, and they don't end up doing anything.
But how do you explain the number difference here?
You can't. He's you can't.
Okay, so like even if it is a new team, new dream or whatever.
Right.
How tall is Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones is tall.
How tall is Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold is tall. They have height.
Even Baker is like 2 inches, 3 inches taller than him.
They have height on their side.
I probably will never get off the opinion until somebody's hoisting Lombardi. It's hard for me to ever see a dude that height doing it. Yeah. Like Doug Flutie is your kind of biggest example, right?
Oh, don't get me started, man.
I guess, but
how many times I heard Doug Flutie when I was a kid? Every time I tried out for quarterback and the start of fall practice, hey, look, we got a little Doug Flutie over here.
How many playoff games did Doug Flutie end up winning in the NFL?
Not a lot. Not a lot. He threw a Hail Mary in college, though. Yeah, that was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, he did.
Did he win? Because he was with the Chargers and the Bills for the longest stints. Yes. Did he win one with?
I think Rob Johnson replaced him with the Bills.
I think he did. Yeah.
So like, I'm not saying it's impossible. Nothing in sports is impossible. We
should just drive me nuts.
Gonna...
Like, how is there not another small quarterback? Why does it always have to be Doug Flutie?
Drew Brees is probably your best short one, right?
Drew Brees is the short goat for
sure.
He's
the short goat.
He is a generous maybe 5'11". Like, he's a tiny dude, and he was all the time.
But
Flutie, by the way, zero playoff wins. 0-2 in his career.
Yeah, I was kind of being sarcastic.
Both with the Bills. Does have three Grey Cups, though.
Yeah, he does.
Get you three of these.
Canadian legend.
Get you three of these.
Him and John Candy.
Flutie Flakes.
Flutie Flakes.
Can it
what a
be,
moment in time.
Can it be possible? Yeah, sure, but... Do you look at him and think that there's going to be some change?
But I also wouldn't have done it with Daniel Jones. So that's the only part. Like, I agree 100% with you. There's not an ounce of my brain that tells me this guy's going to turn it around at insert team here. But I wouldn't.
Let me ask you this.
I would have been okay doing it with Baker. If you told me Baker could do it, I could believe it. I would have been okay doing it, ironically, with Sam Darnold because the Jets just felt so dysfunctional. Of like, he was.
We saw Minnesota like, at least.
Yeah, there's something there.
If Kyler went to the Rams, let's say they get out of this and Stafford retires,
and he's playing for Sean McVay,
it's Puka that Nakua. Caliber a coach, right? For you to go,
like,
okay.
I can't eliminate the thought in my head. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Even though I wouldn't bet on it happening, that's the interesting part. Now, to your larger issue, he's not going to get. I mean, he's got 57 million. What did I say?
It'll be one more year before they get out of that, right?
Although Denver saw that with Russell Wilson and was like, "Dude, we don't care." They ate like 50 something million on his dead money. They didn't matter. They split it up over 2 years. I'm like, yeah, we're moving on. So maybe Arizona does that this offseason.
Where's your confidence that Gannon's going to stay the guy? Whereas Denver at least had Sean Payton coming in.
That helps a little bit to have a competent head coach.
I think that changes things for them.
Yeah, take over in that spot.
I mean, it would probably take that for me to believe in any version of the NFL that Kyler Murray could win at an elite level.
Would be weird,
right? Because making the play, he already made the playoffs. I've seen them make the playoffs. I've seen him have good moments.
Yes, he has.
If he was 4 inches taller, I don't think we're having this conversation.
No.
The unfortunate thing is how he plays doesn't lend itself to the most success when you track how it goes in the NFL at that spot.
Are we doing this again, or should I say, here we go again? We'll get to that coming up next, and then Lucy Burge at the top of the hour, back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, summertime bump back is just a perfect synergy for this segment. Because, no, it does not feel like summertime anymore. You know where else it won't feel like summertime? Now, look, I know I'm in the bubble here. I know I'm probably watching things a little bit closer than you two gentlemen are.
Mm.
Have either of you taken a gander? And this is in the face of the entire conversation we had yesterday about the strategy of one team and how they're going to try and operate early in the game. You guys taking a glance at the weather for Iowa City this weekend?
I haven't checked
80,
it yet.
80 to 90% chance of rain. High in the 40s.
We got it feels like 29 at kickoff. A chance of a rain-snow mix at the end of the game because the sun will set and the temp is going to drop. It is supposed to consistently rain the entire game.
The wintry
with
mix.
With winds
as it
of
were.
15 to 20
One
miles
of
an
Soup's
hour.
Favorite phrases.
We
the
have
wintry
a
mix.
Potential wintry mix on our hands at Kinnick Saturday night in the second half.
So bet the under and expect the Wisconsin game.
Yes. Yay. Right after I said, you know, I'd be aggressive, optimize possessions. Let's go tempo here. I don't know if the weather's going to allow Oregon to do that. So
Full transparency.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the weather. I hadn't thought of looking at the weather. I probably would have done
this
it
is
my
Big
Friday.
Ten football now, evidently. We got to do this every week. I got to learn this lesson.
This honestly was half of the reason I pushed back against you yesterday. Sure. It's like, I think you're just going to be in these moments and weather patterns.
In Iowa in November.
And I think he knows that, and he's going to be glad to play an eight-minute possession to kick a field goal and be up 6-3 in the third quarter.
Oh, welcome to Big Ten football. Yeah, I was looking at this yesterday, reading some stuff on the game. Pate did his preview, and I had already seen the forecast, and he had the similar thoughts on it of like, yeah, this is going to be a low. The over-under on this game, I think, has already dropped. I think it opened at 44.5. I think it's now down to 40.5, primarily because of this. That's what the weather is a big deal of it. So here is your official forecast. It'll kick off at 2:30 local time, Iowa City time.
Yep.
12:30 our time. The sun will be setting as the game goes into the second half and into the fourth quarter. According to the latest forecast, it'll be a high of 51, but it'll feel like 43. 77% chance of rain that becomes steadier as the afternoon goes on. Wind whipping at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And then the temperature is only going to drop as the game goes on because, you know, we talked about that whole daylight savings time or, you know, falling back. Sun's going to set early.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock is going down, so it's only going to get colder. Nighttime low is calling for 29 degrees with a chance of a rain, snow, wintry mix, which could impact the obviously later parts of the game. It could feel as cold as 23 degrees into the late evening in Iowa. God. And, you know, look, part of me would be happy to see Oregon play in a snow football game because nothing gets my nipples harder than watching snow football. Mm. I just, you know, Stacey King from earlier, Elizabeth, here I come.
Yeah.
That's me watching snow football on my TV.
Oh, yeah.
But do I like the idea of having to survive a snow football game in Iowa in November? No, I do.
Over
not.
Under right now, 41, according to our friends at
41. A&A. 41 is your over under.
Dude, if you.
God. 6.5.
If you lose 9-6 in a wintry mix.
Oh, then we're officially members of the Big Ten. I feel like even though we won the conference last year, losing in Iowa, I have to scroll back.
That
and
would
find
be your
this.
Indoctrination into the conference is losing 9-6 at Iowa.
Yeah, let me go find this.
Kids in the hospital laughing at you.
It was
trolling
a
you on
great tech. Okay, here we go. This
media.
Is from a Penn State fan who, by the way, I love finding out all the different fan bases that are listening today. We did that with the NFL trade stuff. A Penn State fan has chimed in on this. This is totally like an unsolicited text that flew in.
We are.
Penn State, we are. At Iowa is a constant Big Ten season graveyard.
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz has a carbon copy of his same team every season, just like Brady's dog. Runs the ball, plays defense, no BS. He hangs around games and gets home field magic for upsets. Ducks, way better team, but Lanning needs to get rid of the classic go for it fourth down duck arrogance and play as the better team in a field position game.
You gotta be happy to punt
and they will win in Iowa. It's a survival game. It's a cursed field. Hollywood started it when they ruined the ESU Timberwolves season in the program at Iowa with Alvin Mack knee injury and Lattimore pancaked at the goal line. Ducks will win, but need to play smart ball control.
Did you see the graphic going around yesterday? I think it was CBS Sports. The last time the Ducks went to Kinnick Stadium was 1989. Kirk Ferentz was the offensive line coach. Jan Lanning was 3.
Yes, I did see that graphic. It was hilarious. He's been around Iowa that long, man. Isn't that wild?
You know, that's a great text,
here we go
by
again.
The way. That's a good poll from earlier in the show on the Tom Brady clone.
Yeah, the cloning of the dog.
I mean, but like, I didn't know the weather, and I still thought this is what the game could be. I mean,
I'm still Pac-12 dirt. Maybe I'm not officially B1G dirt yet.
But you've been. Why has your pucker factor been hitting real hard for over a week? Because you know this is what Iowa does. Iowa wants to get you in a 12-15 football game. I think we need to wear our punt sweatshirt Friday.
We got
to
wear our punt sweatshirts.
I think we need to embrace it. And he's right. I think that person's right. And Lanning has been aggressive in a way that I love. All right, I love the new age.
You pro punt this week. We do have a good punter now. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah.
We got a pretty solid punter. He's an Australian.
I think Lanning is definitely. How do you not, right? How are you not looking at the weather? Saw what your team did in the last weather and say if we're at the 40. Do I go for it in other circumstance? Yeah. Do we punt and try to put him at the 10?
And Iowa can't really throw the ball.
Yes.
It's windy and rainy.
Yes.
He can run a fake. So
he
I
can.
Think
Yeah, that Aussie guy runs out all the time as if he's
going to. That was the biggest. You guys probably turned the game off at the time it happened.
If you want to go for it on fourth down, you're like fourth and three and four or something, line up in the punt, see if they give you the look or not, and if not, punt it away.
That was the biggest disappointment out of the Wisconsin game, sans the first quarter offensively. Dude, he should have had a touchdown pass. They ran a fake punt, and they scored a touchdown, and got called back on a holding call. What a bummer. So here we go again. Bad weather against Wisconsin. Maybe that's just the new norm. We got to get used to it. Although snow, we are in the month now of potentially getting snow football, and that has me very excited. As long as it doesn't impact my team.
My daughter keeps trying to get us to go to Breckenridge for Christmas.
Breckenridge, huh?
She's like, Dad, have you heard of Colorado?
Is she into, like, mountain sports?
She's in a...
You've shown her what that would cost?
I told her what
it would
cost.
Why don't you start with, what's the town up in Washington? Start there.
Leavenworth?
I said that. I said, have you looked
Leavenworth.
Up Leavenworth?
And
she
Leavenworth
goes, first.
But Breckenridge, Dad.
Breckenridge?
And I go, just say the word Breckenridge.
What are you, from Lake Oswego?
Does that sound expensive to you?
Yeah,
Dad, but it's a vibe. And that's what it is. She's reading this romantic novel.
Who's her new bougie friend?
Dude, it's books. She's reading these books that
it's
are like...
It's a vibe, Dad. You wouldn't get it.
It's romantic, and it's charming, and she's starting to
sounds
watch
like
a Hallmark
movie. Oh,
she's starting to.
Oh, no.
She's becoming a young woman, right now she's into the vibes and the romance. And I'm like, we're not going to Breckenridge.
No, it's not happening.
We're at Costco getting snacks, and I go, all right, that's enough snacks. And she goes, well, Dad, I want this snack because we'll have it on the plane. And I go, the plane?
The
she
plane?
Goes, yeah, when we go to Breckenridge. And I go, you're lucky we're getting five snacks. It's going to be $100.
Maybe we'll go to the beach for a weekend, and you're going to like it.
Yeah.
Good luck with that,
trapped
buddy.
Right now, man.
Good luck with that, buddy.
Hooray.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Status story coming up at 9:15. We'll start, though, as we always do on Wednesdays, with Lucy Burge. We got no more dongs to talk about, but we could talk about NFL bets. We'll check in on how her Halloween went. Lucy Burge kicks out the final hour next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.